Maseches Demai, Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud, 6:10. This Mishnah deviates away from the topic of Demai and other Hafrashas, but it's conceptually and structurally very similar to the previous Mishnah, so it's mentioned over here. To understand this Mishnah, you need to understand two separate things. The first is the nature of a convert and how he inherits his father. So the Torah's principle is that when a person who's not Jewish converts to being a Jew, he has a status of being like kakata nola damil, as if he's a newborn child, which means that the convert has no longer any legal ancestry connection to his parents. Obviously, there's a biological connection, but not a legal connection. Tilish at that point, for example, from Torah perspective, if a brother and sister were born to the same parents that were not Jewish, converted to being Jewish, according to Torah law, those two male and female children could marry one another because they're not considered to be brother and sister. The truth is, midrabban, that's prohibited, but the point is to illustrate the point that they're now disconnected from their family tree. Therefore, it stands to reason that when a Jewish person who is a convert, the child of a non-Jew, when the Jew's parents die, so that Jew wouldn't inherit from his father because they're not connected in the family tree anymore. The rabbis, however, were concerned that if a person realized that and he, the convert, didn't want to miss out on the Yerusha, the inheritance of his father, so he would lapse back and try to go back into the fold, if you will, to stop being Jewish, so to speak, to inherit his father. And therefore, the rabbis allowed for the convert to inherit their parents from his father. The son could inherit from the father, midrabanan. However, the mechanics of the inheritance are quite different than the mechanics of our inheritance that passes from father to son, where both are Jewish. When it comes to inheritance from father to son, it's called a nachla, an inheritance, and it actually, the word like nachal, a river, because it flows immediately and directly from the father to the son. That is to say, the son, so to speak, steps into the father's shoes, and without any additional step of acquisition, automatically becomes the owner of the assets of the father. It has become his automatically. That is not the case when it comes to a convert inheriting from his non-Jewish father. There, the convert needs to actually physically take possession of whatever he's inheriting for it to become his. So that's different. That's introduction number one. Introduction number two for the Mishnah is that when it comes, unrelated to that, but it will come to play in the Mishnah shortly, the halachas of idols. So when idols, an actual physical idol, is asr b'hana, it's forbidden to get benefit from the idol. And in fact, if a Jew owns an idol, however he got to it, he's required to destroy that idol. If a Jew would barter or trade or sell that idol, so then the proceeds from that sale or barter, meaning if he gets cash or if he gets some other object, he exchanges the idol for, you know, the Mickey Mantle rookie card. So then that Mickey Mantle rookie card or the money he gets from trading the idol is also asr b'hana. It's forbidden to get benefit from that card or that money. Similarly, wine that was used as a libation to serve an idol is asr b'hana. It's forbidden to get benefit from that. And similarly, if one would sell or barter away his idolatrous libation of wine, the proceeds of that sale or barter would also be forbidden to get benefit from the asr b'hana. Okay, so that's the background here. So here our Mishnah is talking about two people who are, so to speak, are in partnership, who are inheriting, like the previous Mishnah. But here, the two brothers, one is Jewish, he's a convert, and one is not Jewish, and they're inheriting from their father. And the son who's inheriting, the Jew, doesn't want to inherit the father's idols because that doesn't look good whatsoever, or the father's wine, which doesn't look good because there's a separate din d'rabbanan, that any wine that's been in contact with a non-Jew is treated as if it had been used for idolatrous libations, meaning that the rule of what's called stam yinam, generic wine that is in the possession of a non-Jew, is treated as yain nesach, as wine that had been used for libations to idols, and therefore it's asr b'hana. So this son who's inheriting doesn't want to inherit the idols or the wine because it doesn't look good, and therefore he wants to do an exchange with his brother, the non-Jew, kind of like we saw in the previous Mishnah, where the two partners are exchanging or trying to exchange portions of the inheritance of the crop, etc., etc. So here the Mishnah says, Gerev over kochavim, if you have two brothers, one's a convert and one's a idol worshiper, Shiyarshu etz avim over kochavim, and they both inherit their father, who was an idolater himself, not a Jew. Yachlu Lomar. Here, the Jew, son, convert, can say, Tol Ata Avodazara, you take the idols, Va'ani Maos, and I'll get the money. So here you have a case of what seems like an exchange or a barter, cash for idol, and that would be forbidden, meaning that if one would get the cash, it would still be Asr Bahana. However, since we said the idol doesn't immediately become the possession of the son, because his inheritance is only rabbinic in nature, he has to go and actually take possession of the idol. So therefore, he's allowed to say before he possessed it, let's not let the idol ever come to my possession. Let's instead agree that I'll just take money instead. And similarly, the Jew could say, Ata yain v'ni peros, you will take the wine and I will just take the peros, the produce. Let's say that's wheat or whatever it is. So again, one might think that it's forbidden to barter wine for wheat. However, that's not happening here. Instead, the wine never became a possession of the Jew. The Jew says simply, before it becomes mine, let's agree that I'll come and take half the estate only in wheat, and you'll take the other half the estate in the form of wine, etc. That being the case, v'im mishabol rishus hager, once the convert has actually taken possession of the idol or of the wine, so now usher, he can't barter it away, he can't exchange it. There's actually two pshatim here in what usher means. Either it means he may not do the exchange, or if he does the exchange, it doesn't help him. Let's say the wheat he gets for the wine or the money he gets for the idol is still usher, meaning it's forbidden to get benefit from that wheat or that money. He has to get rid of that also.